live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, the tablecloth has been put up. The dishes have been washed. We can mark another one down. Thanksgiving is over. And now it's time to think about what we're going to do with all these leftovers. You may still have guests to feed, or it may just be you. So I brought in one of my favorite chefs, Kevin Rathbun of Rathbun Steakhouse, Krog Bar, KR Steak Bar, Rathbun's. You are the king of your domain.
Well, you know what, Belinda, first of all, I'm happy to be here, and Thanksgiving's going to be awesome. And,
yes.
You know, there's so much great food, and this time of the year is, it's belly friendly. You know what I mean?
It is belly friendly. You know what? I mean, we are condensing this week. It is like Christmas is on us.
It's amazing how fast it's come.
It is flying, and so we've finished up Thanksgiving, and, you know, everybody makes too much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving is about excess.
Always. And you got to eat like three or four times and take like three or four naps.
I love a good Thanksgiving nap. Okay. But so, first of all, how did you do your turkey for Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, you can go to the Big Green Egg, and I have a recipe on the Big Green Egg. Just put in Kevin Rathbun, Big Green Egg, Holiday Turkey, and there's a great recipe on there that people just swear by. So that's a great, tip for somebody next year when they're getting ready to do their turkey, or even in the middle of the year. You don't have to eat turkey just on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I know. Why do we only talk about turkey on Thanksgiving?
Right?
Because it's so, I'll just fess up here. I have never had to cook a Thanksgiving dinner.
Really?
I'm scared to death.
Oh, just dig in. You know, look, you got a whole year to practice, okay? So,
yeah.
Like I say, just practice sometime. You know, make a turkey. But let me tell you about my turkey. I love moist turkey, and it drives me crazy.
Well, there's nothing worse than a dry one.
Oh, there's nothing worse. And a lot of people put like bread stuffing inside the turkey, mm-hmm. but I'm not a stuffing guy. I'm more of a dressing guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I always make my dressing on the side with turkey stock or whatever it is. But my big deal is like a bunch of chopped onions, some chopped lemons, whole lemons, a lot of garlic, a lot of herbs, and then I put a bunch of salt and pepper in the cavity, more than you think you'd need. And then I'd stuff it with all the onions and the lemons. And then basically what I do is I kind of separate the skin from the meat.
That grosses me out a little bit.
And it is kind of weird, but, and then I stuff that with like a pound of butter. So I put like little sleeves of butter inside the skin on the breasts.
That's what's keeping it so moist.
And then once I get done with that, then I'll season it. I'll olive oil it, salt and pepper it, and then I cover it with like a pound of bacon.
Oh.
And I put it in the oven. Fat is flavor, Belinda. I mean, like people go, they die on my turkey, though. They really love it. So then I'll put it in the oven about 400 degrees, and I'll almost burn the bacon and then push the bacon off.
Uh-huh.
But it's already kind of gotten into the cavity.
Okay, 400 degrees.
400 degrees for about 25 minutes until the bacon almost gets crispy.
Okay.
Then you kind of push it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you slow that oven down to about 325 and let it cook for another, depending on your poundage. But, it's usually about 7 minutes, 8 minutes a pound.
Okay.
Maybe 10 minutes a pound. After that, so
you're not tying up that oven the whole day for the turkey.
No, I'm trying to, I get it done, and the thing about turkey too is you definitely want to take it out and let it rest before you cut it.
About how long?
45 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour. I don't, I just want all those juices to stay inside. I don't want to, I definitely don't want to cut it too early because all that juice will bleed out of there, and that's when it gets dry.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so that could be one of our epic fails on a dry turkey is we're carving it too soon.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And, then, of course, a lot of people like to do the traditional carving at the table, which is kind of weird for me. I always take the breasts off and let them sit for a minute. Then I slice them really thin. Then I take the legs off, and I clean all that up. But you don't have that... you know, that traditional, like, okay, Dad,
Norman
carve the
Rockwell.
Turkey. Yeah.
Carve it at the table. Let's right. cut this carcass up in front of everybody.
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, so you're a dressing kind of guy, and I'm a dressing girl. I would rather have dressing than anything else on that table.
Oh, yeah, me too. I tell you what, and the gravy. You know, you got to make great gravy out of the turkey, you know, drippings. I mean, that's... To me, the gravy is like the key, because you could put it on everything. If you're a baked macaroni and cheese fan, or even the green, you know, the green beans with the turkey,
onions
on top.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody has their traditional stuff, but that stuff all goes so good with gravy. Even like the sweet potato casserole, or like, you know, marshmallow and stuff. Even a little bit of that kind of savory gravy
turns
that into like a, you know, a really good deal. So,
okay, tell us what you do to your gravy.
So, well, the drippings.
Because I know you do something a little special.
Well, the drippings. I'm a thyme fan, so like my favorite herb is thyme.
Okay. Right?
So I always put thyme in my gravy, which kind of changes it from what it is, but. Other than that, black pepper and lots of thyme. I mean, you know, and good chicken stock or turkey stock if you have it.
Are you cooking it in the pan where the turkey roasted?
Definitely take the turkey out of the pan once it's done, and then dump off some of the grease. Of course, I have a lot of grease because there's a lot of bacon fat and butter in there.
Well, heck, you do. You've got a pound of butter in there and bacon.
I have to get rid of some of that, you know, but I always leave a couple ounces of oil in there, and then heat the pan up, and then add your flour. And then, you know, just kind of stir that around and start adding your chicken stock a little bit at a time, so you avoid the lumps, right? Mm-hmm. And you get all that incorporated, and then you add your mixture. And then what you do is you take, when that liquid hits the pan, it always brings off what we call the fond. So the fond on the bottom is all those drippings that have kind of stuck through the bottom. That's what makes it really good. And it gives you that dark color, and, you know, it's really tasty. And then you want to cook the flour out, so you want to simmer it for, you know, 25, 30 minutes. And then you'll add thyme, finish that with thyme, and, you know, even a splash of lemon juice. Like, you know, it's so important to have balance of acid and salt and some flavor. And always just a splash of lemon juice works in that, too.
Brightens it up just a little
Brightens it up, yeah.
Okay, now you and I, before we started the show, were talking about cranberries relish, because I have a kick cranberry relish that I do, and I'm known for that.
That's fantastic.
They only let me bring the easy things like the pies and the relish, but...
Well, pies aren't so easy.
They're not.
You know,
if
you do it right, you know, I mean, you got to have what, a lard crust? You
yes,
probably got
absolutely.
The right crust. You make sure you got to dock it and put the fork holes in, and otherwise it kind of comes up. You've seen those pecan pies where the crust kind of floats up in the middle of it.
That's not right.
You,
no,
can't
that's
have
not
that.
Right. No. And so our relish, and we do you and I do a similar relish.
Yeah.
You take the cranberries, you put the orange juice in it. A little bit of the rind from the oranges in there.
The zest, yeah.
The zest and sugar.
Uh-huh.
And let's see, what else have I got going in there? Some cinnamon.
Yeah, cinnamon's good. Cinnamon's always good. A little grated nutmeg would be nice.
Grated nutmeg.
You know?
And you're putting a little champagne vinegar.
I put a little splash of vinegar, just like the salt, just like the gravy. A little splash of that acid really makes it kind of, you know, brings out that big flavor, and a pinch of salt. You know, like every dessert has like a pinch of salt in it. Every savory, in my world, every savory dish has a pinch of sugar in it. So it just helps those kind of contrast, yin and yang. And, you know, of course, the creme de la creme is, if you really wanted to knock it up, you could do some Grand Marnier in there, too.
Ooh, now that would be good.
Yeah, Grand Marnier in there, because that, you know, that works with the orange. It works with the orange zest. It's just, it's really flavorful, too.
Now, what are, we've all got a refrigerator right now full of leftovers from Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
What do you do with leftovers in the Rathbun house?
Well, I mean, you know, the whole carcass piece is a great piece to do stock from. You want to start stock, or you can make a chicken noodle soup, or you can do, you know, I mean, you can pull all that meat, extra meat off the bone and keep that around.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like a turkey noodle soup, or even make gnocchis, you know, like sweet potato gnocchis on Sunday, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'd bake a sweet potato and a little flour, you know, a little milk, salt, black pepper, and then make gnocchis, and then use that stock to make like a turkey gnocchi soup would be great, or just even like, you know, turkey and dumplings. You can make turkey and dumplings out of that. What else?
What would you do with the dressing?
Well, the dressings, yeah, you know what?
Well, there's not a whole lot of dressing left right now.
There's not
house.
A whole lot of dressing left. And I'm, of course, my wife's from New Orleans, so, you know, I have to make oyster dressing twice a year. So I make oyster dressing on, on Thanksgiving and definitely at Christmas.
Yeah.
So we got to have it twice. Oyster dressing's great. It doesn't last very long.
No.
But, there's also, you could take that dressing and depending on, if it's really nice and moist, which I love really moist dressing because some people get a little dry.
Blendy, yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
So I'll just add like an egg and a little bit more flour to it and make fritters out of it, And then you deep fry those and you have like... dressing fritters, which is kind of cool too.
Wow. Yeah. I just had a light bulb moment. Right, that with an egg in the morning?
Yeah, something like that would be great. Or you can make them into griddle cakes. I take something like that and then I'll add a little bit of buttermilk and some egg, a little bit of flour and make more of a pancake batter and then do like cakes on that and then maybe do some poached eggs on top of that with hollandaise, right? So you got like oyster dressing, griddle cakes and poached eggs and then you do some sort of hollandaise,
That's why you are one of the top chefs in Atlanta. Okay, we are talking with Kevin Rathbun of Rathbun Steaks, Krog Bar, KR Steak Bar, and we are talking about what to do with the leftovers in your refrigerator. We're helping you clean it out and think outside the box with all these leftovers. So you're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Check back often for breaking news, Kirk Mellis weather, and traffic red alerts all weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. We have famed chef in the studio with us on the busiest week of the year for him. I don't know how we wrangled him in here, but I'm glad that he agreed to join us here on Atlanta Living. It's Kevin Rathbun of Rathbun Steakhouse, Krog Bar, Kevin Rathbun Steaks, KR Steak Bar, you name it. He's got his name on it. One of the greatest restaurateurs in the city. And Kevin, we're helping people today clean out their refrigerators from Thanksgiving and the holidays. So we've talked about kind of turkey and dressing, but what about all these vegetable side dishes?
Well, some of those vegetable side dishes, Belinda, will freeze, right, until Christmas, okay? So, sometimes...
You've been talking to my mother.
It's okay, though. Some of that stuff's really good. Like, you make enough, and then you don't have to do it twice, okay? Although, it's kind of cheating. But, there's so many things what you could do with the vegetables left over. The green bean casserole, you could add a lot of turkey to that, make that a casserole of some sort. So you could take these things and really kind of develop them into something else, right? There's so many, it depends on what you do, right?
I just never pictured you as a casserole kind of guy, Kevin.
Oh, man, I love casserole. I'm from the Midwest, so I grew up on some good casserole.
Love a casserole.
Oh, yeah. I think that leftovers are great, and usually there's none left in the house, right?
Right.
That's the problem, but... there's always a few things laying around that you can repurpose. A lot of people do baked macaroni and cheese or macaroni and cheese. And, we talked a little bit about fritters. I like to make deep fried macaroni and cheese balls. Right?
Ooh.
Something like that where you take that, you might add more eggs, a little bit more flour, and you get that and you bread that and you deep fry those. Delicious, right?
Oh, it's probably better than the first time.
Or make macaroni and cheese cakes,
yeah.
And then do some roasted chicken for you, I know you've had enough turkey probably by Sunday, right?
So, yeah.
Now it's time to start thinking about, what else you're going to have. And, the beautiful part about it is, the hard part about it is that you've already gained like 4 pounds, right, from Thursday. You've already eaten leftovers on Friday and Saturday, and now you're starting Sunday night. You're starting to think, you know what? I better eat some low-calorie stuff.
Right.
So you better enjoy it all before it's done. It's too late.
Right.
And you know what? I'm a 3-day turnaround guy, so most of that stuff in your refrigerator is good till then. So you can have a plate on Thursday, a plate on Friday, a plate on Saturday, And on, by Sunday, you want, you know, you either want to refurbish it or put it out.
Put it out. It's time to go to the garbage.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. You've been listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. And we're here in the studio with famed chef and my buddy Kevin Rathbun of Krog Bar, Kevin Rathbun Steaks, KR Steak Bar. You name it, he's got it. If it's a great restaurant, he's got his name on it. And I'm on the waiting list.
Well, thank you very much, Belinda. Happy to be here today.
And this is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and people have already had their Black Friday sales, and now we're cleaning out the refrigerator. We've been talking about that and getting rid of leftovers. Did you do a lot of shopping after Thanksgiving?
You know, that's not one of my favorite times to go to the mall. You know what I mean? I tell you what, getting online, that's about the only shopping I like to do, to be honest with you. But my wife goes, you know, and she picks up things for some family members. But that's just a busy day for me.
Yeah.
I just don't like crowds. I see crowds every night at the restaurants. I don't know about going there and shopping.
Yeah, I like to shop when it's just me and a computer.
That's right.
Free shipping.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So let's help people, you know, now we've already switched gears into Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, like that, like a
right.
light switch. So people are thinking holiday parties now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's time now. I mean, because it's upon us, right? I mean, we only got, what, 20 days, 25 days,
yeah.
something like that? I mean, it's crazy.
So as a professional chef and people giving parties, how can people give an effortless holiday party that's going to be the most bang for their buck?
Oh, effortless holiday party. Well, a lot of stuff can, you know, especially when, like, my mother, first of all, was, like, a super great cook, and Christmas was, like, her favorite time of the year. So she made her own chocolate-covered cherries, and they'd sit in the garage, you know, and my brother would steal them all, you know.
You had no part of that, right?
The month of December, right? No.
Yeah.
And she'd make the divinity and fudge
and
stuff like that.
And the temperature and humidity had to be just right for divinity.
Had to be perfect for that, but I got to tell you, she made the best. So those kind of things, you can knock out the whole month, right? You
okay.
could, they stick around, you know, stuff like that. Get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of have to pre-plan for this stuff. Don't wait till the last minute, right? Procrastination is your enemy,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
When it comes to like holiday parties and stuff like that. So there's so many things you can do that, you know, I mean, a lot of people do pinwheels for hors d'oeuvres, right? You can
mm-hmm.
do that in puff pastry and, you know, you could freeze that kind of stuff, and then when it comes time, you cut them out, you make them, you bake them, you're ready to go.
Okay, you so know? What would you fill the pinwheel with?
Well, I mean, anything like, I mean, I'm a spinach guy, so, mm-hmm. you know, like a cream spinach mixture with a lot of Parmesan cheese, and you'd get, you know, buy some puff pastry, and you roll that up.
And puff pastry is so forgiving.
Oh, yeah, it's very forgiving, and it's, you know, and it's great, and people love it. Brush that with a little butter, put it on a sheet pan, you're ready to go. I mean, so think about, really think about stuff that you could freeze if you wanted
okay.
to. You know, there's so many things that can be made ahead of time, so you're just not scrambling, right? So I think that's probably the biggest fear that people have is they have to do all of this stuff at one time and get all of this stuff done, where a lot of this stuff a couple of weeks out, a week out, can, you know, really help you save room for that really, really good stuff you want to do that day.
Okay. So what should be the number one thing on the table? Would you do a beef tenderloin type slider?
You know, I like beef tenderloin type slider. I mean, anything with meat on it, you know how much I like that.
Yeah, I know how
right?
you like your meat.
You know, I'm a huge prime rib fan.
Okay.
So, you know, and you know, of course I love the big green egg, you know that.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly, like, usually Christmas Eve, you know, those kind of times, I really love prime rib. So, you know, I PK that thing where you put the knife holes in the skin and you just fill it up with garlic, and then you season that huge mass of meat with a lot of salt and pepper and herbs, and, you know, you roast it low and slow, It's a delicious piece, right? And you could do that ahead of time.
Really?
You could do like a prime rib ahead of time, a day ahead of time, and then chill it, and then slice that, and mm-hmm. then you have prime rib sandwiches or prime rib sliders the next day.
Would you serve at room temperature?
Yeah, serve it at room temperature. You know, a little horseradish sauce is always good. These kind of things are simple to do, and you could do that ahead for like a Christmas day or, you know, even a Christmas Eve snack as opposed to having this big, huge dinner, right?
Wow, that's a great idea.
I'm a pork fan, big pork fan too. So a pork roast the same way, right?
I have never in my life cooked a pork roast or tenderloin that was fit to eat.
Really?
I mean, you could hold the door open with one that I have prepared. The other day, my son goes, Mom, you know we're tired of dry meat.
Right.
I said, well, son, I don't plan on it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, you know, I mean, there's temperatures, you know. You can read all about these temperatures.
And
temperature gauge is really, really cheap, about $5. And, you know, like medium rare is like anywhere between like 120, you know, 123. And then, you know, when you get a medium piece of meat, mm-hmm. you want to take it out, let it rest, you know, and that goes up another 5, you know, degrees. So, you know, you could find that stuff and you know, prepare the meat, you know, but have a thermometer there because it always works. It always helps.
Okay.
You know, we as chefs, you know, we're like sometimes, you know, you don't really want the thermometer. You think you can do all of this stuff. But
just by feel.
Yeah, just by feel and touch and how it springs back. And if you don't have a thermometer, I always say to people, you know, like, well, people ask me all the time, how do you tell between rare and medium? So it's all about the spring, right? So if you have a raw piece of meat or a medium rare or a rare or medium rare piece of meat, when you push on it, it doesn't spring back very quickly. And the more it cooks, the more it's kind of, you push and it springs back really quickly.
Okay.
So that's a good way to tell, you know. And I'd show you on my hand right here, but you can't really see it on the radio, you know what I mean?
But it's a good visual for me.
Yeah, so right here, you know, when you like clench your fist, you know, you
mm-hmm.
you know, when your hand's really soft, right between that area between your thumb and your forefinger there, you feel that and it's real soft,
right?
But you start tensing that up, you start feeling how, you know,
harder.
It gets a little bit more firm.
Right.
And
okay.
That's where the, you know, all the collagen and the proteins are cooking. And, you know, it springs back really quickly. So, and when that's like boing, 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 you know, it's well done.
And I've done it
so many
times.
And you've gone too far.
Now, are you a big proponent of brining?
I do. I love brining. Yeah, I think brining is super important, especially with, you know, with some things, but not like a beef tenderloin, not like big, huge chunks of meats,
okay. But
more for like poultry, more for like turkeys, more for like chickens, pork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is lower in fat, you know, and sometimes these massive chunks of meat, you want to get some of that salt solution flavor in. And brine is simple, you know, simple. So it's really brown sugar, salt and water
mm-hmm.
is what it is. And then you could flavor it with anything else you want. But those three ingredients, you let something soak for a little while and it kind of absorbs that, a little bit of sugar accent and that saltiness that, you know, more like seawater,
right?
More like the ocean. And, you know, basically that you'd put that on very large chunks of meat, right? And
okay.
And it really tends to make that flavorful because you buy some things and when you grill them, you have to season the outside really, really, really well. You know, and those kind of end cuts in the top get a
mm-hmm.
little salty on one side, but I love that goodness too. But the brining kind of incorporates into that.
Now, are you washing the brine off or are you just patting it dry?
Just patting it dry. Yeah, just take it out and pat it dry. That's all you got to do. And then if you want to season it a little bit more too, but once you've brined it, you don't need a whole lot of seasoning on top of it after that.
Now, what's your typical Christmas Eve or Christmas Day dinner?
Well, like I said, prime rib is huge for me.
Okay.
You know, Yorkshire pudding, prime rib, you know, I love.
What is actually in Yorkshire pudding?
Beef fat, flour, and eggs. That's it. It's like Yorkshire pudding is like a profiterole. You know
okay.
what profiteroles
yeah.
are? So it's basically like eggs that are whisked with flour
mm-hmm.
and beef fat, and then you cook
okay.
the whole thing in beef fat and a little salt in it. They're delicious.
Okay.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, and that's such a tradition, right? And
sure.
you know, in Europe, I love that. But you know, as far as like Christmas Day, like my wife always has to have baked macaroni and cheese. All right, we always have to have oyster dressing, mm-hmm. New Orleans style. Of course, my nephew, he's like a sweet potato marshmallow guy. So we always got to do some sort of baked sweet potatoes and marshmallows, uh-huh. and that kind of thing. So
isn't
tradition
funny,
is alive and well.
What you've grown up with is what you always have to have.
Yes.
Regardless. If you've had the green bean casserole from the back of the can.
That's right.
With the Durkee's onions on top. By golly, that's what you have to have.
That's tradition, right? And these holidays bring so much tradition, and you bring family together, and, you know, they're breaking bread over stuff they've had all their lives. It just brings back great memories and sometimes some bad ones, too.
Now, isn't it great that cooking has become so popular?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, I think people now, you know, I mean, we're all so worried about people eating out all the time, mm-hmm. and going out all the time, and that, you know, that whole family tradition of getting together and cooking has kind of gone away, but I think it's coming back alive and well.
It's coming back
alive.
Yeah,
I think a lot more people enjoy it, spend time doing it, you know, learning about it. You know, there's so many of these brands out there now that you can buy. You know, those kits, mm-hmm. where they come,
yeah.
and you cook those. And I think some young, you know, I meet so many young people now, under 10 even.
Oh,
like
yeah.
12 and 10 and 11 and 9 and 8, that get these things, whether it's Garnish and Gather or whatever. There's mm-hmm. so many of them out there, right? And, you know, they're great. I mean, they're great. And it teaches kids how to make a meal, how to do stuff like that. And I think it's super important. I think it's real, working out great.
You know, I have a 16-year-old, and I'm talking to he and his friends, yeah. and they all love to cook.
Yeah.
He's cooking venison. He's cooking lamb. I would never tackle that.
Right. Well, hey, you know.
Don't have fear that I do.
In the day before we had YouTube and all of that stuff, Belinda, we had to kind of read some old school books and stuff like that. You couldn't really get the feel. Now they just, turn on TV. You know,
right.
Now they turn on the television and look at YouTube or look at all these videos of stuff, how to do it and how to, I mean, you could cook anything. And a lot of it makes it simple and easy.
Oh, absolutely. Because
I'm not, I love to read cookbooks, but, you know, I see by doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I see somebody do it, it kind of it helps me understand how the process works.
Right.
And, you know, that's what's really, really good about what's happening with, you know, the internet now. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can see anything. You can understand how to make anything. People are doing a lot more pickling these days.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing
canning.
You know, fermenting these days. You know, I can't tell you how many people I know making kimchi all the time now, you know? So, you know, it's just, I mean, people read about it. Some of these television shows and Food Network and stuff like that's really, really just brought, you know, an elevation to people cooking at home and made it simple to where they can do it now.
Well, you're an inspiration to so many, and your restaurants are such an asset to this city. I want to thank you for all that you do for the community. You've got some things coming up that we're going to bring you back on and talk about in the future. But, Kevin, thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Belinda.
Thank you so much. Folks, you've been listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Slate, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Check back often for breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts all weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Hey, y'all, it's time for Breaking Chews. This is where we drill down on all the breaking news about restaurants, chefs, festivals. I'm here with my foodie correspondent, David Danzig, from Encore Magazine and BelindaSkelton.com. So, our buddy Kevin Rathbun.
Yeah, let's just do a whole segment on Kevin Rathbun.
We could do a whole hour.
One of the great chefs, not just of Atlanta and Georgia, really in the Southeast, really in the country. I mean, he's just world-class. Guy and just a nice guy all around. He's got a Rathbun's Steakhouse. He's got Rathbun's Restaurant, Krog Bar, the KR Steak Bar. And if you're looking, if you're already sort of in that incubation period, you're thinking about what would be a good gift this holiday for my foodie, my significant other. Kevin Rathbun hosts these unbelievable cooking classes. And they're spread throughout the year, and they just released the 2019 cooking class schedule. They're going to be doing a German cuisine in January, a New Orleans class in March, Mexican street food in May, farm to table in July, a Big Green Egg barbecue class in September, and then a whole holiday foods thing next November 2019. So how does it work? It is $400 per person per class. And I know this.
Don't gasp.
Hold. You know, but wait, there's more. And they're non-refundable tickets, but you get one person in the class, a four-course meal the night of the class, and you can bring a guest, and that comes with wine pairing, and you get a logoed item. So it's not...
I think it's a great bargain.
It's a great value. I mean, $400 for a couple people, and you get the class, and you're taught by the master.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like Yoda is teaching you class.
Absolutely.
So for information on this, go to belindaskelton.com. I'll have a link up there how you can pre-purchase this. This will blow minds, but this sells out. So...
Oh yeah,
it's first come, first serve. And if you're going, well, that's just a little too rich for my blood, but I sure like to be around Kevin and enjoy his stuff. Next Sunday, his restaurant Krog Bar is having their annual pig and paella birthday party.
Fun.
Sunday, October 14th. There's going to be a whole roasted pig, wine, beer, Spanish desserts, and music. That's only $75, so you could probably swing that. I'm going to have a link for that as well at belindaskelton.com.
So where can we find you during the week, sweetheart?
My website is bitesandsites.net, B-I-T-E-S, the letter N, S-I-T-E-S.net. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
All right. I can't wait to see what you bring to the table next week. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.